Why do people in power sometimes self-destruct? Why would someone like former Congressman Anthony Weiner, once disgraced by a sexting scandal, do it again? I'm Joy Cardine, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, July 25th. The former New York congressman, now a candidate for mayor of New York, held a news conference on Tuesday to admit he continued texting sexual photos of himself to women after he resigned from Congress over the first scandal.
This behavior that I did was problematic, to say the least, destructive, to say the most, caused many stresses and strains in my marriage. But I'm pleased and blessed that she has given me a second chance. For the past several months, I've been asking New Yorkers to also give me another chance to show them that I had a vision for the middle class and those struggling to make it, and that I wanted to move forward.
So will New York voters forgive Anthony Weiner, especially if his wife has? Or should he withdraw from the race as urged by the New York Times yesterday? Are you shocked that he wants to stay in the race? We will discuss these questions and others with Frank Farley, a psychologist at Temple University and past president of the American Psychological Association. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, you know, I looked online and I see that it was 2 years ago, almost exactly, that you wrote a piece that was on CNN.com about Weiner's risque behavior. And in a way, you were saying it's in a politician's nature. Explain.
Well, politicians, particularly those who go a long way. I mean, he was in the U.S. Congress, for God's sakes. They tend to be risk takers. And I come to that conclusion just by analyzing the job itself. I mean, the job of a politician, particularly, you know, like in the House of Representatives and at top levels, has a whole set of features that attract a certain kind of person. So, for example, it's not a 9-to-5 job. There's no certainty in the job. There's no tenure. It's unpredictable. You could be voted out at the next election and not even know exactly why. It disturbs your home life significantly. You travel a great deal. Here's one that's very important. You have to speak in public. Speaking in public is nearly always in the top 10 fears of Americans when fear surveys get done. You're always meeting new people. You will be constantly challenged over your ideas. And so it's just an uncertain occupation, uncertain career.
And these psychological traits that might drive someone to seek public office also can lead to them taking risks that could make them leave public office.
Yes, exactly. And so I think it attracts the risk-taking personality. I think if you're risk-averse, you would never go into politics, and certainly not, you know, make... I mean, the risk-taking personality is bold, innovative, charismatic, rises to challenge, thrives on variety and novelty and intensity. Well, you know, so the political career, the political life, in my view, attracts a risk taker. But there's a positive side to risk taking, and we value that in America. We were founded by risk takers, for God's sakes. I mean, here in Philadelphia, where I live, you know, where America really could be argued began, you know, in 1776, we had a bunch of revolutionaries. They were going to overthrow the government, for God's sakes. And so that was as risky as it gets.
Sure, but and all those traits are positive in certain ways. But don't you also have to have good judgment? I mean, after all, you can be a risk taker, but you what about texting lewd photos of yourself?
Well, indeed. And so there's the positive side of risk-taking, and oops, there can be a negative side. You know, it's like you can't not do something. You know, it's just you're almost sort of hardwired to take risks, and then sometimes it goes over to the negative side of the ledger. And don't forget that in the traditional form of risk-taking, which is a sexual risk-taking, which is an actual encounter, you know, a physical encounter, in the political life, you meet an awful lot of acolytes, people who admire you, who commit time and money to your career, and so the opportunities for sexual liaisons outside of your marriage are extremely high.
Is there anything different about this particular scandal because it wasn't a physical liaison?
Yes. In fact, of all of the ones I've studied, it's just about the only one that's come out of this type. We don't have to go through all of the ones, but the Clintons, the JFKs, the FDRs, goes on and on and on. Sanford, and now he's made a comeback, effectively. But, yeah, this one is different. And, of course, this one is very 21st century. You know, it's playing out on the Internet, for gosh sakes. And it's digital. So his is different.
Yeah, well, and we can talk a little bit more about that, but it's also different in that Wiener was attempting a comeback, yet he knew that he didn't do this just once, and it led to him resigning in disgrace from Congress. He continued to do this.
Yeah.
So what was he thinking there?
Well, his seems to have sort of gone over some kind of tipping point and almost suggests, a significant pathology, that this is a guy who really needs help. Now, his spouse claims, Huma, she claims that they've been going through therapy, et cetera, and that, he's been clean, in a sense, for the last year. So maybe therapy has worked, and if it's true that he's clean for the last year, maybe he's past all of this. But sexting, the Pew Foundation has done surveys and makes an estimate of roughly 6% of adults have engaged in sexting. But they claim that almost no one over 45 does this kind of thing. And, he's 48 years old. So what he is doing is pretty unusual. And furthermore, there's also a track record. It's not hidden. We didn't know much about JFK until after he had died, or FDR. And in his case, basically by doing it online, it's public.
Yeah. And I also want to talk to you, Frank Farley, about, we have Anthony Weiner trying to make his political comeback, running for mayor of New York. And we also have, at the same time, former New York State Attorney General Eliot Spitzer, who resigned in disgrace of when a scandal broke that he was frequenting prostitutes. And he's running for office again, too. What's going on in their minds that they think that they can make this comeback?
I don't know. What's happening to New York? Remember the famous song, New York State of Mind?
Right.
you wonder. Well, Spitzer made a comeback in the sense that, he got his own show on CNN for, a year or so. This is a, he didn't make a comeback in politics directly, but he obviously, wants this comptroller job as a stepping stone to something bigger. Can he make it? I don't know. I think both of them are different from almost all of the other sex scandals. They both are unique. Prostitution has not played a role in the overwhelming majority of political scandals. sex scandals. And so far, sexting Wiener's M.O. hasn't surfaced in other politicians to date. So we just have this unusual confluence of highly unusual sexual peccadilloes at this time in this place in New York City. So it's, you know, for people like me who study this kind of stuff, it's fascinating to watch what's going on and to see, you know, try to predict the outcome of the election.
We will try to predict whether or not New York voters are going to forgive Anthony Weiner in particular. And will it make any difference that his wife has forgiven him and is standing by him in the press conference? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Would you vote for Anthony Weiner for mayor of New York? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 21 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, July 25th. We are talking with Frank Farley. He's a psychologist at Temple University, past president of the American Psychological Association, about why sometimes people in power, politicians in particular, self-destruct or engage in really risky behavior that could lead to their downfall. We saw that with former Congressman Anthony Weiner, once disgraced by a sexting scandal, and then he continues to do it. Anthony Weiner, running for New York mayor, held a press conference this week to admit that he continued texting sexual photos to a woman after he resigned from Congress over the first scandal. He says he's going to stay in the race, and he's asking New York voters to forgive him. Do you think they should? Would you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's go to Mike in Milwaukee first. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, Joy. Love your program in the morning.
Well, thank you for calling.
No, in answer to the question, I would not vote for this guy. I think that people in power, I shouldn't make that quite that globally, but this fella obviously can't control himself and lusts for power over others, and I think that's a dangerous combination. So no, I don't think this fellow should be allowed to in office, and I certainly wouldn't vote for him.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mike. Well, what about that, Frank Farley? Does this behavior indicate that he lusts for power over others?
Well, it kind of implies that. Mm-hmm. You know, he just has been going through all these personal perturbations, you know, that are odd and weird, and we would be shocked if they were happening to a friend of ours, for example. And he lied to the public big time. I mean, he said that he was cured. It was all behind him. He wasn't going to do this anymore. And then it turns out that for a whole year after that statement, he continued to do it. So, you know, he's just seems to be, I think, loaded up with problems. And then over top of that, why is he running? Why is he back in the game? Why is he back in politics? And, you know, the thing about New York City, it's our biggest and most complex city. It's our main city, that and Washington, D.C. And you know, the United Nations is located there. You know, to be mayor of New York is a big deal. And this guy has such a kind of twisted resume to be mayor of our sort of most famous city. So I think that a lot of people will be with Mike on this. I think that on the other hand, you know, he gave a talk yesterday, and having nothing to do with, apparently, with the running for office. It was on something else. I don't know what it was. But at any rate, you know, what I saw, the video I saw of it, you know, he had a significant audience, and they actually applauded him on some of his points. And so if people believe that he's been clean for a year, and if no other shoes drop showing that he did anything in the past year, because that's what he says, that's what his wife says, that he's completely clean for a year, the past 12 months roughly, I could see some people voting for him. He was a popular politician before. Many people urged him not to resign from Congress. So I think it's not over till it's over. And the next, you know, several weeks will be key. He's a dynamic politician, and with a long history in New York. So, you know, I think that most people will be with Mike on this one, but I wouldn't bet the family farm.
Yeah. Well, and I've read that a lot of people think that because his wife is standing by him and publicly, you know, talked about forgiving him and urging New Yorkers to forgive him, that that might save him. Do you think so?
I think it's possible. She would have to come out a little bit more and get to be better known to the New York public. You know, she has been sort of in the background. I mean, she's very tight with Hillary Clinton. She's Hillary's, you know, Hillary's top aide in the State Department, is considered brilliant, highly accomplished. She obviously is articulate, etc. Some commentators are saying, ugh, it's just another, you know, power couple. The two of them, they both want power, and, you know, she would like to be, you know, the first lady of New York, and then who knows what her ambitions might be beyond that point, etc.
Yeah.
But I think that she is his number one strongest point if he gets anywhere in this election.
Well, there were a number of people that scratched their heads over then First Lady Hillary Clinton forgiving Bill Clinton's indiscretions, and some are saying the same thing. They just don't get why Huma is standing by Anthony Weiner. Can you talk a little bit about what might be behind her forgiveness?
Well, if you look at the Clintons, they are the poster child for surviving and thriving this kind of thing. I mean, they are astounding in this regard because, you know, he wasn't just sending out texts with no physical contact. They're just sending out some prurient material. You know, he had sex in the Oval Office in the nation's house, and they worked it through. And they stuck together, and she went on to become a senator, and then the Secretary of State, and she may end up as the President of the United States of America. They're astounding. Huma has been very tight with her, is undoubtedly influenced by her. And so I may be the last person in America who says, you know, you can't redline Weiner out of this election. I think that there's still a chance for him to win it. It's been a year, they claim, since he did any of this sexting, and that he's clean.
Yeah.
I think that 1 year is going to be the and her support. You know, in watching her on Tuesday, she said that they had gone through massive therapy, that everything is now okay, that she loves him, she forgives him. That's a key word. This is the nation of second chances, third chances, and fourth chances. And a lot of people can resonate to forgiveness as a concept. You know, I mean, it has a deep history in religion, and I think a lot of people can forgive.
Well, we will talk more about the forgiveness and the political nature of why someone in power would engage in such risky behavior as Anthony Weiner did, and we will welcome your questions and we'll welcome your views on this. Would you vote for Anthony Weiner for New York mayor? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Frank Farley. He is a psychologist at Temple University, past president of the American Psychological Association. We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back. Coming up a little bit later this morning after 7 o'clock, we'll have a guest analyzing what President Obama had to say in his first in a series of economic speeches, trying to get the focus off scandals and onto the economy. Why do powerful people sometimes engage in self-destructive behavior? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Thursday, July 25th. Two disgraced politicians resigned their posts amid public humiliation, and now they're trying to come back. There's former Congressman Anthony Weiner, and there is former New York State Attorney General Eliot Spitzer, both running for office again. We are talking with a guest psychologist about the psychological factors that drive public figures to pursue the spotlight, and we'll also talk about whether or not we will forgive them. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Frank Farley. He is a psychologist at Temple University, past president of the American Psychological Association. We have been focusing in primarily on former New York Congressman Anthony Weiner, now a candidate for mayor of New York, because he held a news conference this week to admit that he continued to text sexual or lewd photos of himself to women after he resigned from Congress over the first scandal involving sexting. So let's go to John now in Richland County. Hi, John.
Hello. Good morning, Joy and Frank.
Good morning.
I would just like to say it seems that this gentleman is setting a pattern of behavior that's corrupt, and it's out of control.
Why do you say it's corrupt?
Well, because he's taken advantage of his wife and his constituents.
Hmm. Is this corrupt, Frank Farley?
Well, I think that's not a bad word. You know, he has taken advantage of his wife. I mean, you know, he's had to drag her into this to save his hide. And, you know, she's risen to the occasion, and she supported him and so on, but that's a kind of a corrupting process in a relationship to be sort of used in that regard, and the voter as well. But you know, I still think that the comparison with the Clintons remains one of the most interesting comparisons. When Bill Clinton was running for the first time for president, all sorts of allegations were coming out. You know, your listeners may remember one of the allegations by a person was actually had to do with the certain nature of his genitalia, for gosh sakes. And she was talking about that. And this was for somebody who was running for the White House. And but, you know, Hillary stuck with him. And Bill Clinton said it's all untrue. And then once he's in the White House, he has a sexual encounter in the Oval Office, and so that was very concrete. That was a physical sexual encounter. It wasn't something written, you know, typed on online. It was an actual physical encounter in the nation's house, and yet Bill Clinton ultimately emerges from the White House as probably the world's most popular politician, and his spouse goes on to everything that she has done. And so I think there are really interesting parallels between these two. I'm not certain that Anthony Weiner is anywhere close to Bill Clinton's capacity and brilliance as a politician. Probably not. But the parallels are very interesting, and one of the main differences is that Weiner is a sort of 21st century, his sexual peccadilloes are sort of very 21st century. You know, there's no physical contact. It's all social media. We should probably call it psycho social media in his case. And so it's out there. There's concrete evidence for it, and also there's concrete evidence that he stopped. That is, nothing has surfaced that I'm aware of online in a year. So in a sense, it could be argued that there is concrete evidence that he has stopped this behavior. No more allegations, you know. And so,
He has stopped. But according, you know, to no one's certainly found any evidence. But isn't it strange that it was? I mean, it was just a year ago he was sending pictures of his privates to a woman. I mean, that was only a year ago.
Yeah, it is. And I guess the key kind of thing that strikes me is he knows how the internet works and that there is no privacy. So he was setting himself up, in a sense. It was about as self-destructive as it gets. In Clinton's case, going into the final phases of his first run for the White House, it was just allegations from women in his past, Jennifer Flowers and others. So he could always counter those allegations, saying it wasn't true. But in this case, Weiner is doing something where there's incontrovertible proof of what he did.
Well, let's get some other callers in on this. Paul in Middleton is with us. Hello, Paul.
Good morning to you both. You'll forgive my cynicism, which runs pretty deep. But both of these couples are power couples. And in both cases, to the female members of the duo, they pitched their stars to rising stars. And both are, like their husbands, I think, are pretty well power-driven. And, you know, they're not shrinking violets. They have ability, that's true. And I think they're not going to see everything thrown away, at least not for their husbands or not for themselves, for that matter. So I think it's all very calculated. I think in, you know, both cases, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. And in the case of both President Clinton and in terms of former Congressman Weiner, I would no more trust them than I could, as far as I could throw them.
Mm-hmm. Frank Frawley?
Well, I think a lot of people would support Paul in that, sure. And the power couple concept, I think, definitely applies to both of these couples. One was highly successful, and I think that's why it makes this one so interesting. In fact, Huma's involvement here makes it even more interesting. What can we predict of this power couple? How far will they go? Can they negotiate and navigate these troubled waters and rise? I mean, the Clintons did it, and they're still at it.
A listener emailed, "Shame on us for even considering electing an official who will break a promise to his spouse. How can we trust that the promises made to the public would be honored?"
Well, I think a lot of people believe that, but, you know, the history is that some of our greatest politicians have done it. And, you know, again, we could go through that whole long litany, you know, Eisenhower, FDR, JFK, Clinton, on and on, where there's concrete evidence. Look, I study heroes. Among the top 10 heroes of the last 100 years in America, when surveys are done, Martin Luther King Jr. is nearly always listed in the top 10, usually in the top 5. He had an affair that we know of, and there may be others. JFK and FDR are the two most frequent presidents in the top 10 heroes list of the last 100 years, and they had affairs. So, what's an affair? You're cheating on your spouse. They all did it.
Yeah, here's another one. Ian on Facebook says, what are his policies? This nation has fallen asleep. So, insinuating that his policies are being overshadowed by all this, and that's what really matters, is how does he stand on the issues?
That's a really good point, because I think the American electorate will often look the other way if the personal peccadillo has no impact on the politician's policies and leadership. In other words, we can redline this kind of behavior often if the person is a great leader and is doing things for us, for the electorate, for the American people. And I think that's the question. Back to Clinton. Clinton came out of Arkansas. He was moderately well-known governor, but nothing particular about any of his policies at that time. Wiener, I don't know I don't know much about his the things he did when he was in the House of Representatives, but I'm sure all of that is coming out in the election.
Yeah.
I think that if the electorate feels this guy is really good for us, then people might support him. I think that's usually what happens. I think the American people can bury a lot of peculiar personal behavior if they feel that on the leadership front, this is a really good leader who's working for us in the ways that, you know, we want.
We are talking about former New York Congressman Anthony Weiner, now candidate for mayor of New York, admitting to another sexting scandal this week. But he says now the issue is behind him and his wife. He's going to stay in the race for mayor, even though the New York Times yesterday editorialized that he should withdraw. We are discussing these issues with Frank Farley, a psychologist at Temple University, past president of the American Psychological Association, and welcoming your questions and welcoming your views on this. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Thursday, July 25th. We are talking with psychologist Frank Farley about the factors that, the psychological factors that drive public figures to pursue the spotlight, and those same risk-taking psychological factors that sometimes get them into trouble, like former congressman and now candidate for mayor of New York, Anthony Weiner. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you think a politician can be trusted again after such behavior as Anthony Weiner? Would you vote for him? Saul in Stevens Point is with us next. Hi, Saul.
Hi. I really don't understand what this program is about. I mean, the guy is a nebbish. He did nothing in Congress. He was very good locally, you know, with his own constituency, but he did nothing. He's not associated with any major legislation. And you're spending all this time talking about whether he and his wife are going to survive this. Well, comparing this guy to Clinton, who's a brilliant guy in many ways, and comparing him to, what's his name, the former governor, why'd I forget his name, who's running for comptroller, another brilliant guy. And you're comparing him to a nebbish. And the only reason we're doing this is because he's got a famous wife that probably would be elected in a second to mayor of New York if she was running. And she happens to be hooked up with a, you know, as I said, a nebbish.
Well, I don't. So, why are you calling him a nebbish, Saul?
A nebbish is a nothing, a guy who goes along and takes advantage of situations, but doesn't really contribute anything. So he doesn't show leadership and all the sorts of things we're talking about. But the reason we're listening to this program is because he did this stupid thing 2 years ago and repeated it again. But we're not talking about what makes him a good potential candidate. This is one of the weakest slates of Democratic candidates in New York mayoral history.
Oh, no, these are good points. So he is leading in the polls of those candidates. He is saying that he is championing issues that will benefit the middle class. He was always considered a liberal or progressive Democrat in Congress. I can't necessarily speak to anything he's authored, but this is a really a nobody, Frank Farley, and he doesn't think that you can compare him to Bill Clinton.
I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know enough about his abilities, about his track record. When Bill Clinton was running for the White House, we didn't know a whole lot about him. He had been a governor of one of the 50 states. He had emphasized education. We know that much. He had run, I guess, once before. I think he had attempted to run for the Senate and had lost. Then he ran for the White House. I think if we went back in time, we would look at him and we wouldn't see him as being the brilliant guy that he ended up revealing later once he got into the White House. People, you know, often rise to the occasion and show their strengths. I just think we don't know enough about Wiener. He may be a nebbish, you know, whatever that means, but I think that we don't know enough, at least I don't, about his capacity, his contributions as a politician when he was in the House. It's hard to get your name attached to legislation in a House of 435 people. It usually takes several terms to have an impact, etc.
Yeah. And Saul, I appreciate the call and talking about the issues here. We are focusing mostly on former Congressman Anthony Weiner because of, yes, the sexting scandal and the fact that he did it again. But we're also talking about he isn't the first politician to engage in such behavior. And we're talking about why so many politicians and other powerful people engage in this type of behavior and in many cases are forgiven by the public. And we have Guppy on Facebook who says, I have no problem with people having odd sex lives, but when you can't control it, you have an addiction. Do we want such people in leadership roles or in therapy?
Well, is it an addiction? I don't know. I don't believe very much in the concept of sexual addiction. I think that its scientific status is really questionable. We have been informed that he's clean for the last year. That's impressive. The thing about his form of sexual expression, as I mentioned earlier, is that there's a track record here. That is, it's easily retrievable online to see if he's continued doing this. And as my understanding, there is no evidence over the last 12 months that he's done any more of this kind of thing. So, again, the word I've been using is clean, but I think that his case, the case he's making and his wife is making, is that they're past this. Human behavior can change, and the history of the human species is change. Even Charles Darwin said that being open to change is one of the key ingredients in human survival and success. And so they're saying that they've changed, and they're moving on from here. So I don't think that, some people are saying, he's got this sexual paraphilia, he's an exhibitionist, etc. That language implies an unchangeable sort of quality. You'll never break out of that. And I don't agree with that at all. I mean, the amazing ability of the human race to be resilient, to change one's behavior, you know, it's one of our hallmarks. And so they got 12 months of evidence along those lines. And if I were advising him, I would say, boy, just keep hammering away at that fact.
Let me ask you, Frank Farley, I don't know if you're up for this, but Roger on Facebook says, you might want to include professional athletes in this discussion. He's referring to Ryan Braun of the Milwaukee Brewers, MVP of baseball, who is now suspended for using performance-enhancing drugs. Do you see any parallels, or is there a difference between, you know, politicians and athletes?
I don't know in this particular, you know, case. Often, you know, some of our best athletes to have that risk-taking trait because it often is needed to get to where they get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to push yourself and you've got to be willing to take a chance. And, you know, lots of people don't. I mean, they don't want to push the envelope. They want to stand pat with what they've got, and they find it too threatening to take a risk and to push the envelope and to try for something more or different or more challenging.
A lot of people in Wisconsin, baseball fans, very upset by this and hurt, you know, because he said, no, didn't do it. Now he's saying he did and apologized. Maybe in our final minute, and that's all we have, forgiveness. Is this a situation where we might also forgive?
I think forgiveness is a fabulous thing, no question. And once again, if he clearly stopped this behavior, and there seems to be a public record supporting that, then I could see people forgiving him and saying, "You did bad, but you know who hasn't done bad things in their lives, and you've moved on." So you know, forgiveness is one of the great human qualities.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, all the great religions support it.
We'll have to check back with you to see if we do forgive at another time. We're out of time. Frank Farley, a psychologist at Temple University.